what do I do? Because the biggest fear of mine is not having enough sex. And I feel embarrassed to tell my partner that, as the guy is supposed to have more of the sex drive. How do I approach this? Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of Flings and Things. I'm your host Moni and I'm here with episode 93. Super happy to be back. I know I was back last week, but it feels still new because it's been a while. So getting back in the groove of recording weekly, and I'm actually pretty late because this launches tomorrow morning and I usually like film a couple days before. But last week was really busy and exhausting and I was tired and honestly didn't feel like talking or socializing, which has kind of been the vibe lately. Not that I'm upset, I'm loving life. It's just, I'm just tired all the time. But that brings me to my next like piece of news, which is in the updates. Your girl has a new job. She's super excited. I'm going to stop talking in third person now for those of you who hate that. I hate that. I don't know why I just did that, but I am so freaking happy, you guys. I've been interviewing like crazy for the last couple months trying to get a new job with better pay. Not that I didn't love my old team. So if any of my team is listening, like love you guys, love my bosses. Like that was nothing. Like that was none of the reasons why I wanted to leave. It was literally compensation and work-life balance. Your girl was working overnight shift Wednesday through Saturday, meaning I was not able to have a life and all my PTO was going away because I couldn't do anything Fridays and Saturdays. And it's just like Sunday you're exhausted because like Saturday night you work so late, you're working into Sunday. Like you wake up late and you start your day late. And it's kind of like, well, it's over. So I'm just happy because now I'll be able to visit San Diego more often because I have weekends off. So leaving Friday after work, coming Sunday. Some people might think, wow, that's a long drive just for like 2.5 days, if that. But for me, it's worth it. Jesse loves San Diego and we just love visiting my family. So, and I miss my parents. But also, the job is a different industry. So I'm super excited about that. I've typically worked retail as the industry. I've worked cannabis. Many of you know, bad. Never go back. But the company I'm currently working for, or I'm about to work for, I start in 2 weeks. I'm going to cut that out. I'm sorry. I don't need everybody knowing where I'm working. If you know me on LinkedIn, that's fine. But anyways, I'm working in like basically like a healthcare medical device industry. I'll just say that. But pay is great. I get to work one day at home. My boss who hired me, like I interviewed with her. Immediately after the interview, I called Jesse and I was like, I want to work here. Like the company's great and all cool, whatever position sounds like doable, like I can do that. But my future boss, potential future boss, is amazing. Like you just vibe with somebody right away. She's somebody I want to work my butt off for. Like honestly, she's super friendly, approachable. The vibes, I just can't even explain it, but I'm hoping that's all true. But I'm just super excited. She's already made me feel so welcome to the team and I haven't even started yet. So I'm just so excited. Everybody I interviewed with was great. I didn't get any like weird negative vibes. So this is going to be a very fun job. I'm hoping I'm going to get more career experience and I'm probably going to be here for the next couple years. So I don't see myself leaving anytime soon. The pay is great. I don't need to leave. And then also like there's potential to grow and you know, I'm there for it, guys. So yeah, anyways, enough about that. One update I forgot last episode, which is a pretty big one, was my holiday party that me and Jesse are starting to like, we want to keep like an annual holiday party every single year. So those of you who came, thank you so much. We had a full house. I was genuinely surprised, but super happy. Just wish that some of Jesse's friends would have turned up. So a lot of them had things going on or last minute stuff, but that would have been more fun to kind of like combine both of our friend groups since I've only met a couple of his friends and they have not really like met any of my friends or family. So it'd be, you know, fun for the next gathering. But other than that, we had a great time, had a lot of San Diego visitors. Shout out to everybody who traveled all the way over here to be here with us. And I appreciate it. Next year, stay tuned because we will have another one. There was drama, but I'm not going to go into throwing people's shit out there. But if you were there, you know, and that shit was wild and hopefully never happens again because I won't let it happen again. So anyways, moving on. what else is going on? A lot of things happened this week that I can't talk about on the pod just yet. But I will say this year is going to be amazing. Like I am so excited for 2025. There's so much going on, so many milestones, so many different chapters in people's lives like that I love around me are like they're entering new chapters in their lives. So many weddings. I think I've talked about this in a previous episode. We just bought our tickets to Mexico. So we're flying into Cancun and then we're leaving from Cozumel. And we're going to come back. So we're going to go through TJ though. But we bought tickets. I bought it for like all my family because I was easier to put on my card. So cheap. Just so you guys have an idea, like it was like $2,400 round trip. Like literally Cancun, Cozumel, like tourist areas for 5 people. That's crazy. So honestly, Jesse and I were like spending like less than $500. So yeah, and the Airbnbs weren't bad either. So I'm just super excited to go with my family. And then what else? Yeah, been spending time with new friends, newer friends. And I appreciate that. I have a newer coworker friend. She knows who she is. She's a sweetheart and I've been enjoying spending time with her. So I'm glad she's in my life. As my other friend Tiffany exited my life. Not really. She's just a call away, but she's in San Diego. So I get to see her when I go back. And of course, catching up with Drea and all the people around me. Thank you guys for staying in touch. I know it's been hard. My best friend just had her baby, like I mentioned. Beautiful. I just, brings me to tears. I can't. Tears of joy, of course, of course. She reminds me, if you like those naps, like don't have a kid. Like continue that birth control. And I'm like, but I'm not on birth control. So anyways. Okay, I think that's it for updates this week. Something that I wanted to talk about. And I guess maybe like it does kind of have to do with one of my updates and it might not be interesting to some of you guys, but remember this is Flings and Things. So this is going to be an episode kind of, well, partially is going to have some stuff with the flings, but partially with the things right now. So job hunting. For those of you, like this is the new year, it's Q1. A lot of you are miserable and hate your job. And I know some of you out there listening being like, damn, she's right. I hate it here. If you hate it at your job, please leave or start trying to leave. And I just don't think it's healthy for your mental health to work somewhere where you don't enjoy working. I can understand being stressed because of compensation, but if you love your job and it's just a compensation that sucks, it's more bearable to deal with that versus you just hate your job, period. So give me 1 second. Jesse keeps calling me and Jesse never calls. Hello, baby.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
What's up?
You
always say what's up. I'm filming. I'm in the middle of filming so the viewers can see you on my phone right now. What's up?
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. What's going on?
I'm nervous.
You're nervous? Why? They can't hear you. Okay. Love you too. Bye. Well, speaking of jobs, Jesse's at work and he's helping me scan some documents. I needed to turn in some stuff. So anyways, back to this. Leave your miserable jobs because it is the new year. And why do you want to start the new year off with bad vibes and just a negative space for yourself, right? We're all adults here. We can make decisions. The power is in your hands, literally. So what I recommend for those of you who are job hunting, never just leave a job and then look for a job, like to look for a job. I think that's really irresponsible, especially if you live on your own and you have bills to pay. I understand there's circumstances where you need to do that. People also go on LOAs and then leave their job. Like that's very common. I've seen it in HR, even as a manager at all the companies I've worked at. But even then, unless you have money to fall back on, you're not getting paid for that LOA, so it doesn't really do anything. But I can understand why, because then it's job security to come back. However, if you're just miserable and you don't really need a reason to leave, just start looking. It doesn't hurt to put feelers out there. Drea and I talk about this a lot because she's in the healthcare industry, and she told me that it's very common for them to jump ship often. Like, you don't really see nurses and stuff at the same company for a very long time. And the reason for that is because of pay, and it's like very competitive. So you always want to look for the best job opportunity. And I think that's just the generation we live in now. I feel like back in the day, I don't know if it's like baby boomers or even after baby boomers, like the next generation, where they were very like big on loyalty in the companies and the job, right? Like that you stay at a company for a lot of years, it looks good on your resume. I can honestly tell you guys that it doesn't look terrible if you leave after like a year, if you have a good reason, because there are employers who will ask you why you left. And as long as you can speak to that without talking shit on your past employer, it's not a big deal. And I think a lot of us have had different opportunities where we've had to leave jobs early. But like I said, one advice, just like a side note, don't ever badmouth your employer, whether they were a terrible company or a terrible manager. Like, it doesn't look good when you interview. What I'm trying to get at here is, in Drea's industry, it's common to leave, right? So if you're stuck at a company, don't feel like you have to be loyal if you've been there like 3, 5, 10 years. just put feelers out. It doesn't hurt to interview, even to keep your interview like skills kind of like prevent them from being rusty, right? Let's say you don't plan on leaving, but you're like, let me just see what I could get out there. I'm just going to throw some applications, like maybe 5 a month. If I get an interview, awesome. I'll just interview. It kind of keeps me on my toes. And then maybe you get an opportunity that you're like, wow, I didn't even know I was capable of making that much money. And then it's kind of a win-win because you're not really in a rush to leave your employer, so you're not stressing about finding a job. But then also something lands at your feet and it kind of forces you to embrace this change that maybe otherwise you'd be scared to embrace, which I can understand that because when I worked at Ross, I was like, I didn't really want to look anywhere else. But I will say also the reason why I did stay at Ross was because I was constantly moving stores and also getting promoted. I never stayed in one position like up to 2 years. I was always getting promoted until I left to Phoenix. Which is why I left. So it made my like experience working there, like, I don't know, I felt like I was always being challenged and there was always something new and more money being thrown at me. So that's why it kept me there. But if you're in the same position for 2-3+ years and you're not happy, I think that's the time where you should start thinking about putting feelers out there. Something that I also recommend is, hi mama, hi, Luna wants to be on camera, is also just keeping your resume updated. And I think a lot of people also like, they say the same thing, but they don't do it. What I mean by that is like, as soon as I get a new job, I update my resume. It doesn't mean I'm trying to leave because I told you I'm not leaving this job, guys. They will have to freaking grab me and throw me out because I'm so happy with the company that I'm about to be working at that I don't want to leave. Like, I'm just, you guys have no idea how happy I am. The wait was long, but it was way worth it. But anyways, you just update it because also when you're at a company for a long time in a certain role, you kind of tend to forget all the things that you do, right? So once you get hired, you know, okay, these are my main job responsibilities. I can throw these bullet points on my resume. As you progress through your position, then more tasks or more projects are thrown at you and you can update that resume again. Whereas let's say you worked, you got a new position and then you don't try to leave for 4 years. Well, then you never updated your resume and you're like, what did I do the last 4 years? And a side note to that is if you have like a OneNote or just anywhere that you can like record information or take notes from your job, always write down the projects or things that you've accomplished, whether it's metric based or just something that you accomplished for like the area or the office or the site you work at or just for the company overall, because you might need that for review time. So that was like a total side note, manager HR information, but those are like, I think best practices that I definitely keep for myself. And yeah, so now kind of going to the next part of that is like, I've recruited before. I've never like been in a recruiter position where that's my sole responsibility, but I've definitely recruited for most of the companies I've worked at. Interview, hire, promote, terminate, all like pretty much the entire employee life cycle. So something that I feel like that I think that more employers need to do, I'm not saying employers, it's not really them, it's kind of the recruiters, but I know recruiters do talk to the hiring manager. So that technically is part of the employment, right? So they probably have a say in it, is giving people a chance. I think a lot of like old school thought was just kind of back to the whole like loyalty with the baby boomers of staying loyal to one company for a long time, is also like hiring people with a lot of experience or a degree, right? And I think nowadays, a lot of people, especially Gen Z, are starting to realize that a degree doesn't, is not as meaningful as it once was back then. And I would say that's not entirely true for all industries or jobs. However, yes, that is kind of the case in some aspects, right? And I think some jobs really prefer that experience. Like I'll read things where it's like a bachelor's degree minimum, but like 5 to 10 years of experience. And like I read the job responsibilities and that's everything that I can do. But I'm just hitting my 4 years in HR, right? But it's, and I have a master's degree, not to say that that means anything, okay? Because just because you have a master's degree doesn't mean you're ready for like these high level jobs. But I just think it's interesting how people won't give you a chance if you don't have like all of it. Whereas, and then you have those people who, those of you know, who are you are like recently graduated from college, whether it's your bachelor's or your master's, you don't have experience necessarily because you just graduated. How are you supposed to get hired somewhere that makes a decent living because you just graduated? Like, what do they expect 10 years out of, you know, experience out of that? So I think that's what frustrates me. I think it's really easy to teach a job, but I think it's really hard to find the right person for the job when it comes to like your people skills or your ability to learn fast. Okay. And what I say by that is I can like, if this is management or leadership, right, in HR, retail, operations, whatever, I can teach you how to do the daily job, but I can't teach you how to be a better person and a better leader. and a better employee, basically. And I'm talking about character here. And we have a lot of these issues with people getting fired in leadership constantly. I should say terminated, but we're on things and things. So fired is fine. And I say that because it's like they did not get hired or promoted right from the start. I'm sorry. Like, I'm not saying I'm perfect at that. I have hired people or promoted people who did not do well in their role. We all make mistakes. Some people ace the interview and they suck when you hire them. But a lot of the time, there's a lot of red flags that have to do with people's skills and character that you can identify early on in that process. And then you go down this road and you're like, well, why didn't they do well? They failed. Okay, well, look, you shouldn't even have promoted them or hired them. But then you got other people that you didn't want to give a chance because they don't have enough experience or they don't have a degree, for example. However, they're amazing and they're easy to teach and can excel at their job. Sorry, I feel like I'm a little bit passionate about this, but guys, it doesn't just apply to me. It applies to a lot of people I know that are capable of jobs that require quote unquote degrees or a certain amount of experience. So I just think people need to take more chances. And I want to say I appreciate the employer that I'm about to work for because technically what they required, I have experience doing specifically, but the role originally said 5 years of HR experience. I have four, barely four. And the recruiter was like, let me pass all your information over because I feel like you're like great for the role. So they did, and the hiring manager, which I'm assuming is the manager that I interviewed that I'm going to work for that I love, said it was okay, like let me talk to her and see what she has to say. So they took a chance on me and here I am, a very, very happy girl. And I'm not going to go into more details, but that's it. So okay, I'm going to stop there before I get into my next topic. Hi guys, I'm back and Luna's next to me. And if you guys haven't tried these Unwell hydration drinks, what are they called? Rapid Hydration Focus. This is the mango citrus. It's phenomenal. Sorry, I'm gonna take a sip. Okay, if you know me, you know that I don't like flavored drinks. Jesse had to realize this early on because he'd always offer me things and I'm like, ew, no. The only flavored drinks that I like, and this is like flavored water, quote unquote, not like milk or orange juice. I wouldn't consider that a flavored water because it's typically made from like straight oranges. So lemonade, and I say that because you have to put lemons in water. What else? Gatorade, only the yellow one. Sometimes I can deal with red or like the blue frost, like the light blue one. But even then, sometimes I can't drink it. And then I would say that's pretty much it. I can't think of anything else, guys. It's so bad. I don't like fruit juices, like anything mixed with water besides orange juice. Like, hey, apple juice, grape juice, cranberry juice, pomegranate juice, liquid IV. What are those other ones? There's like a vitamin water. I don't know. Anything flavored, I freaking hate it. Oh, I love Kool-Aid, though. I love Kool-Aid with lots of sugar, though. So liquid IV is disgusting. Can I drink it? Yes. It's not like that disgusting. I just don't like the flavor. These aren't amazing to the point where I'm like, ooh, I just crave it. I want to drink it. No, I still don't like flavored water. But for the nutrients and like the comparison that they did with this and liquid IV and a couple other hydration drinks, great benefits, less sugar, better for you, less calories, all that. I actually like the taste of it. For this type of hydration drink, I would say 8 to 9 out of 10. For all drinks ever, like a 5 out of 10, because I told you I don't like these kind of drinks, but I don't know. It's definitely different. I got to go buy more at Target, though, because lately I've been getting like, I don't know. I don't know if you guys ever like wake up in the morning and like water is just not appetizing. Like you almost get nauseous drinking or your stomach hurts. And Jesse and I started in a routine where we're waking up at 4 a.m. to go to the gym now. Just because him getting off work at 5, which that will be my new time soon as well. Like, it's just the gym's too crowded. And then you like even going at 9 or 10 p.m., it's still crowded. And then like you're going to bed late and then having to wake up early for work. And there's like that awkward gap where it's like, do I eat dinner before the gym? Because I might get too full if I do cardio. Like, what do I do? So we said, screw it. And I told him, you know, Jesse, like I used to have this routine where I used to wake up at 3:34 a.m. before work and I started at 8. So he said, let's try it. We tried it. This is our third week. So last week was week 2. It got easier. Week 1 was very hard. We missed one day. We just couldn't get up. Well, I would say he couldn't get up. I was just more like, okay, that's fine. Because I didn't want to get up either. So we wake up at 4. We are in bed for like 4:15, 4:20, and we're out the door by 4:45, the latest. We've been trying different like snacks in the morning. Like, we both don't care for bananas too much, so we'll do like a piece of toast with peanut butter. I had a granola bar one day. We shared a bowl of like cereal, like Honey Bunches of Oats with oat milk. almond milk. We switched over from oat to almond, which I don't know how I feel about it yet. We've tried, well, he likes to eat Rice Krispies. His trainer said that was like also a good idea. I don't understand the logic behind that because the sugar, but whatever. If you guys work out and you hear this right now, feel free to leave a comment about Rice Krispies. I don't understand. Other than that, I think that's like the only things. Oh, we've had one bowl of oatmeal. But like, sorry, I burped. But we split it so that way like we're not too full. So yeah, gym, and then we come back, and then he showers, and I usually will make him actual breakfast or like a shake or smoothie while he's taking a shower, and then we'll eat together, and then I will go shower after and he'll leave for work. But now that I'm gonna be working, it's gonna be probably harder because I've been taking naps since I'm waking up early and I can't take naps now. But I guess the only other benefit is gonna be the fact that I get to carpool with him now, which at first I was like, okay, that benefits you, not me. Your truck eats a lot of gas. So like you're the one saving gas money. But he was like, babe, I'm going to help you pay for gas, obviously. And I was like, I guess so. That's true. So we are going to both be saving on gas because I'm going to be working closer to Tempe Scottsdale. He's more in Central Phoenix downtown area. So I'll just drop him off at work and go to work. It's going to be great. I'm excited. I feel like we're just grown ass adults. It's just a great. The routine's back. Now I just got to get my diet back, guys, because your girl has been craving cheeseburgers lately. And I don't know what the hell, like, I don't know. It's just been difficult to eat healthy this past 2 weeks, which is ironic because I'm literally working out now like a lot, but we'll see. I bought some ground beef from Costco, which I recommend. I'm not like all about like organic stuff, but there are products at Costco that are only in organic form. So we got this organic ground beef like a month or two ago, and I can't explain to you, like, I'm not a ground beef person, but I've definitely bought ground beef at other stores, and this is like, I've never had ground beef that tastes like what the Costco one is. So I think it's better quality. It's definitely expensive, but it tastes good. So I'm gonna make that this week. If you guys have any recommendations for like meal preps, please, please send me a message. Because honestly, like, yes, I can Google it, but I need something that's like easy and quick to make. I follow this one guy on Instagram who does like crockpot protein recipes that I've sent to a couple of my friends, because honestly, crock pots are really easy, and apparently it's low carb, high protein. But even then, sometimes when I look at those recipes, I'm like, I just don't think I'm going to lose weight from eating that. But I just really got to work on the protein. I think that's something that I've been struggling with, because I've always been in this mindset where like I need, like, I'm fat. I need to lose weight. So like cutting out like portions, cutting out carbs, cutting out all this shit. And then I realized, well, I'm barely eating protein because I'm scared to eat so much meat or like chicken, when realistically that's better than not eating a lot of that and then cutting everywhere else. So the one thing I will say that I've done better at is one green juice a day. And I actually need to have mine today. It's already like almost 5 o'clock, so I'm behind, but I'm gonna drink it before the gym to get my vegetables in. But yeah, okay, so next topic. So I want to talk about this because I think this is something that Jesse and I have talked about in our relationship, that it's more just, it's not really a topic, it's just something that I want to talk to you guys about, because I feel like I've never had this before in a relationship. And it makes me super happy that like, we'll have like conflict, and it's like so small conflict, and like we're able to resolve it. And then like afterwards, we're like, I'm so glad we talked about that. Like, I'm so glad we're able to like talk about these things and resolve them and like have no issues. And like nobody's raising their voice. Nobody's getting upset. No one's being petty. No one's gaslighting. And it's just like, okay, I didn't like this. Please don't do that. Okay, you're right. I did do that. This is why I did that. Okay, I will work on that. Sorry, move on. And now we're just like, wow. I guess conflict resolution is like, quote unquote, the topic. I don't know. But I just want to like talk to you guys about how important it is to have a partner that listens. And listens to understand, not listens to respond. And I think a lot of people have heard that before, especially in the workplace. As a manager, as a leader, you want to listen to your employees. Don't like listen with in your head thinking like, I already know what I'm going to say, or like they're wrong, they mean this or whatever. Because I think all of us are guilty of that, especially people like me who like to be right. It doesn't mean you're not right. It just means you're not showing empathy for the person in front of you who has a concern, who is genuinely emotionally bothered. Right. So something that Jesse and I have talked about in our relationship is like when one of us is upset about something or doesn't like that something that the other person did, we want to bring it up right away. And Jesse used to have issues with this. I'm sorry, baby, I'm calling you out. I did not tell you I was talking about you on the episode today, but it's just coming out. So Jesse used to have, I would say used to, because he's done so much like better now, which we really don't have issues often. So it's hard to say better. It's only been like three circumstances where Jesse was bothered about something that I may have did or said, or like he misinterpreted, right? And he waited till the next day to tell me. But after, he was kind of like, I knew something was off. You just know when your partner's off, whether they're showing it because they're just being all pouty or like the typical like stereotype when the girl's like, it's fine, I'm okay, but they're not. Jesse didn't act like that. It was more just like, he was more quiet, more distant. And like, not distant physically, but just like, I could tell he wasn't like joking and being funny like he normally is. So I knew something was off, and he was like, I'm totally fine. Like trying to like act like he was fine, right? But like, he wasn't being like pouty. He genuinely looked fine when he would tell me. He's like, yeah, nothing's wrong. But I'm like, I know something's wrong. So he used to do that, and he would tell me the next day and be like sending me this paragraph about how like he feels and why he feels this way. And a lot of the time it was a misunderstanding of something that wasn't the case or something that I didn't mean for it to come off that way, right? I'm not going into details of our relationship, it's just examples. So I'm like surfacing that. So I had told him that something that bothers me is that I want him to tell me in the moment. And I understand for some people and in the relationships, typically there are people who need to like cool off and they need time to gather their thoughts before they re-enter that conversation and address the issue. And I'm here to say that you do need to respect that about your partner, and you should know if your partner's like that or not. Like, that conversation should have been talked about already. So if you haven't, please have that conversation tonight or tomorrow and tell your partner, hey, we've never talked about this. When there's issues or you have a problem with me or I have a problem with you, do you're a person that likes to cool off and think about it first, or do you want to get it done and address it in the moment? Because I'm in the moment type of girl. I hate tension. I hate issues. Jesse always laughs because if I feel like there's an issue or we kind of like bark at each other, like we get like irritated about some stupid little thing in the car, I'll just be like, I'll like wait and it's quiet because I don't want to like bring it up yet, and I'm just thinking about it, and it's like a couple minutes pass, and then I'm like, I feel like there's tension, like is something wrong? And I try not to say it that way. That was a little bit of attitude, but he'll be like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I feel like something's off, like what's going on, like do we need to talk about it still? So he said he laughs about when I do that, but I'm like, it's true. Like, I don't like feeling tension. This goes for all my relationships, not just like my romantic ones. And yeah, so anyways, my point being here is, regardless whether it's like, I need to take a moment to think about this and re-enter this conversation, or in the like, let's fix it now, you needs to be fixed at a reasonable, decent time. And I would say within a couple hours, like 2 to 4 hours, I think it's a good enough time to cool off. Now, if it's like 10 o'clock at night, then yeah, I think revisiting in the morning is acceptable. The only thing that's unfortunate for me is like starting off your morning with that can like ruin someone's day if it doesn't end up going well. And then also number two, like, do you have that much time before work? That's a lot of stress that people don't want to deal with. I wouldn't want to deal with that before work. I'd rather just deal with it that night. So then it's kind of like, okay, well, you wait till after work and now it's been like a full 24 hours almost. And I just, I don't like that personally. So anyways, Jesse and I have been working on that. And I think something like going back to this beginning of this was, how do you react when you're speaking to somebody? So there's been situations where like Jesse will like tell me about something and I'm like, part of me, like old me wants to be like, I didn't even mean to say that like that. That's not what I meant. But I have to remember to like take a step back and be like, listen first, hear him out and ask questions after, like, okay, like, well, what did you think exactly like when I said that? Is that what first came to mind, or did you think about that later? Okay, well, so let me give you my perspective. I'm apologizing like that I made you feel that way, and I'm so sorry, like that's a really crappy feeling. But when I did that, the reason why I realize now is because of X, Y, and Z. I was stressed out about something else that had nothing to do with you. I was irritable and I was in a mood. Like, whatever the case may be, recognizing it, validating their feelings, taking accountability that, you know what, I did do that, but I promise you, I didn't mean it to come off that way. I'm sorry. I will make sure, like, I think I would have refrained from saying I won't let it happen again. And the reason why I've told Jesse this in the past when he's done something where he's like, I won't do it again, I'm never going to do that again, I promise. And I'm like, don't promise me and don't say you're never going to do it again. Because more than likely, we're human beings, you're going to do it again. And we make mistakes. So unless it's like, we're taking back cheaters, guys. If you guys are taking back a cheater and they're going to do it again, like, I'm not even going to get into that because I don't take back cheaters. But anyways, so I can't do that. I don't even want to talk about that. Triggering, please. I used to take back cheaters in high school. So Yeah, where was I? Okay, so I tell him, like, say, like, hey, I'm going to work on making sure that I prevent myself from doing that, or I don't do that again. I'm going to work on making sure I do that, or, like, catch my triggers or realize that. There was a situation where I don't know if, girls, if you ever feel like you're needy and you want your boyfriend or your husband or fiance's attention, and, like, instead of just being like, baby, can you come touch me and, like, I miss you, like, let's talk, or like, I want to cuddle. You might see him on your phone, on his phone to the side, and then you get irritated. And instead of just being like, baby, come over here, like, hold my hand, like, I miss you, you're like, why are you on your phone still? Okay, I think a lot of us can relate to that, because what is the root cause? You want attention from your man, okay? That's the root cause. However, instead of just asking for that, a lot of us have pride and ego, and we don't want to ask for attention because it feels so wrong and so ick and just cringe to ask somebody to pay attention to you. So instead, you fire shots at him and you're like, what are you doing on your phone? Which comes off as nagging, can come off disrespectful depending how you say it, and can come off rude. So I've done that before, and then Jesse kind of like has gotten very upset, like, instead of like being like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, he was like, what do you mean on my phone? Like, fine, I won't ever be on my phone. And then I'd be like, okay, whoa, let's take a step back, and then we'll talk about it. And I'd be like, you know what, babe, I'm sorry. Like, this is embarrassing, but I was like, I just literally want your attention right now. Like, I missed you. Which, guys, is crazy because I live with this man, but like, it hasn't happened in a while. But when it did, like, it's because I was at home all day waiting for him to get off work, and then he gets here, and then he's like, like, I want attention from him. Like, I've been waiting. I'm not working. Like, now that I'm going back to work, I told him, don't worry, I won't be clingy anymore because I will be busy and, like, stress about work now. But at that time, it was more like, dang. And I had to talk to my bestie about this because she actually went through similar things where it's like, you know, when you work a 9-to-5 or just a hard job and you get home, you just want to, like, decompress and, like, be to yourself in silence. And a lot of people aren't even on their phones at work because they don't have time. So now you want to check your phone. And that's normal. And I don't want to put anybody down for that because I've been in those same shoes, especially when you live alone. It's just, you can just do it. And mind you, Jesse used to live alone. So this is like, we've only been living together for a couple months. And I had to realize, because I'm waiting for him all day to get home, I'm expecting that attention immediately. But I have to remember that he needs to decompress from work. Yes, he was in traffic for an hour, possibly decompressing, but possibly not. I don't know what he does in the car. So I had to realize, like, let me give him his time. And then if I'm like, hey, babe, like, let's eat dinner together, like I need to talk to you about some stuff, or let's go over this, or like, let's watch a movie. Like, that's going to be my way of asking for attention. But that was a very specific example. What I'm trying to get at here is you need to be able to ask for what you need, and then your person needs to listen to you. If they get defensive, recognize where you could have approached them better. And if they can't meet you halfway there, then there's going to be conflict in your relationship. And it doesn't mean you need to leave the person. Like, that's something that can definitely be worked on. But you need to have that conversation. So if you're somebody that you feel like you guys are always going back and forth, and there's never really, it's not really a quick and easy conversation to resolve, then maybe you guys should talk about and have that conversation, like, and say, hey, like, I think we should do a better job of listening to each other and, like, validating each other's feelings so we can, like, resolve this conflict instead of letting it linger or, like, holding resentment. So I think this is, like, the first time I've ever had somebody where I can do that with. Like, Jesse and I are very respectful of each other. We don't raise our voices. We don't cuss. We don't yell. I can count the times I've raised my voice. I think, yeah, even with him, he, like, doesn't raise his voice. So, but I can count the times I've raised my voice. You guys, if you know me, like, I'm a lot. So, but it's very rare. And I don't have to, because he doesn't get me to that level. And I think that's something I appreciate about him, is he really respects me in that aspect. And I mean, I love him. He loves me. So I'm not going to go too much into our stuff, but, like, if you guys can relate to any of that, like, that's a perfect example of, like, something that is important in a relationship for it to be successful. Because I think nagging and fighting and bickering all the time doesn't do justice, especially, like, if you're a couple that's deciding on bringing a child into this world. There's going to be enough stress and issues with that. So being able to, like, tell your partner how you feel and what you need from them instead of going and beating around the bush because you have too much pride and ego to ask them for what you need, that's not going to get you anywhere. Your marriage or your relationship will be destroyed. So ask for what you need, even if it feels embarrassing. And if your partner makes you feel embarrassed or puts you down for asking for that, God, please, like, leave. That is the worst person to be with. So if you're thinking about having a child with somebody like that, you should definitely second guess what your decision's going to be, because you're stuck with that person for the rest of your life. And why would you want to co-parent with somebody like that? No, thank you. Anyways, we're going to get into our advice segment now. Hey, Moni, I need some advice. I have a 3-year-old and things have been very tricky in the bedroom. I will say we don't have much time for each other and sex has not been very frequent. We are planning on having a second baby as my husband really wants a girl. What do I do? Because the biggest fear of mine is not having enough sex. And I feel embarrassed to tell my partner that as the guy is supposed to have more of the sex drive. How do I approach this? Okay. Old me would say, try to make the first move, wear the lingerie, do all the things sexy to make your man notice you and see if it works. But new me would say differently. I'm going to say you still need to put effort in because stress can reduce that sex drive for a lot of people, including men. But I think new me would say you have to communicate. And if that's the only thing you're worried about with the second child, then I think the conversation isn't going to be as hard as it would be if you're concerned because of other things like the relationship falling apart. Now, if that is your concern because of the sex, then that could get tricky. So I would talk to your husband and be like, hey, like, I'm so excited to have another baby with you. And I'm hoping it's a girl or whatever. Like you guys said, you're trying to plan because you want a girl. He wants a daughter. But I'm a little bit scared of one thing. And like, this is the part women will, like, girls, ladies, women, you need to be vulnerable. And I'm one to like say that it's hard to be vulnerable when you're somebody who's in your masculine energy and like hyper independence. Like, and a lot of you who are close to me are the same way as I used to be. It's hard to ask for things that you feel like are embarrassing because you shouldn't have to ask for it or because you've never had someone give it to you. And this is the time where you need to be vulnerable, I would say. And if he can't respect that, like, he is not the right partner for you. So I would tell you to say, I have a concern, like, I feel like we haven't had time for each other and I miss you so much. And like, I just always want to be around you. And I just miss our alone time in bed. And like, be straight up. If you guys talk about sex openly, like Jesse and I do and a lot of other people I know, like just say like, I've been wanting you. I've been craving you lately. And like, I just feel like, oh, I miss the times when we were younger or missed. If that does not relevant by age, I miss the times when we were like early on in our relationship where we used to just like fuck everywhere or like have sex all the time. And we were always all over each other. And like the passion, I loved it and I miss it so much. And like, I know it's been so hard with the baby and I know it's like, it's just been with life, right? You got to add the words, of course, that are relevant to your situation, like work, I don't know, family. If you guys have like always around your family, like splitting time up, whatever the case may be, and be like, but I just miss you and I want us to work on that together. And then he might be like, you're right, babe. You know what? I did think about that the other day. Cool. Awesome. Or he might be like, is that all you think about? Like, he could blow off. Now, that's crazy to me if he does, but that's an option too. So you got to be prepared for that, how to react. Or he might be confused and be like, oh, like I thought we'd been having sex. And maybe that amount of sex is not enough for you. And that's where you need to now go the next step of saying like, no, we do. I'm just scared that like when we have a second baby, like it's like we're going to have as much time for each other. I wouldn't even say we're going to have less sex because I feel like sometimes guys will feel like intimidated or like, what's the word called where you're like, basically you're taking them out of their masculine, like you're making them seem like less of a man, basically. They could feel like that and get defensive if you're saying that you want more sex from them. They're not giving you enough sex because typically, you know, a man is known for having a high sex drive and some men get offended by that, I feel, or they could. So I would tell them like, I'm just scared that we're not going to have as much time for each other. And like, I want to make sure we can keep that. Is that something that we can like talk about? And if he's like, yeah, babe, like totally. Like, what do you think? And I'm like, well, I feel like we should make more time for us. Maybe we plan it. Unfortunately, it's not as sexy, but you know, sometimes you got to do it. Or we have more date nights. I just want more time that we can be intimate with each other. And I'm willing to like, meet you there, like, would you want me to initiate more? We can do like role play, like have like, I'm willing. Okay, this is TMI, but like some men like their dick sucked all the time. Okay, so maybe you're not doing that enough, but he's not asking for it because you guys just don't have time. So maybe you'd be like, hey, like I've been wanting to go down on you more. Like, I promise I'll start doing that so I can get you in the mood. Like, initiate, right? Because a lot of women don't initiate as much as men. So tell him that you're willing to put that work in because you want that, but you also want to see it from him. But I think the biggest biggest key here is explaining that your fear of it lacking more once the other child comes in, and that you want to make sure there's like a game plan to be proactive about it. But it's hard because I've never been there, and I haven't been there with, like, I don't have children. So that's the best advice I could give you. But that's enough for today. So I think that's it, guys. Thank you for listening. Subscribe to our YouTube. Follow us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You can also follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Flings and Things Official with an N, not and. And I'm at Monida Montenegro. TikTok is actually back. I forgot to mention that. So you can follow us on TikTok. However, I haven't been posting, and I don't even know if you can find our TikTok because I low-key, like, ghosted it. But more to come on that. So follow us on Instagram, please. Anyways, guys, bye.